I like to be down with the people. So, you noticed a little bit of a bread theme today in one of the scriptures and some of the songs. And I wanted to share with you three of my earliest bread memories in childhood, and I'm sure you can conjure up some of your early memories, maybe kneading dough with grandpa or something. My first memory of bread was my mom buying these pallets of hamburger buns that were wrapped in these big plastic bags. They were literally pallets of them from a local bakery outlet, because that's what our family could afford, so we ate a lot of white buns. But she would put them on these trays and make garlic toasts and cinnamon sugar toasts at almost every single dinner of my childhood. We had those. So I have this memory of just these little round breads and the crunch that they made. The second memory I have is the stale cinnamon raisin bread that my grandma used to buy on the day-old rack. You know, the swirly cinnamon bread, the kind of icing on the top. She would always buy those and shove them in her little olive-colored bread box on the counter, and everything got stale in there. She always said, I keep it in there so it stays fresh, but everything seemed extra. I don't know, those windmill cookies were also stale. But my third memory is of tearing warm pieces of really fresh Indian fry bread off and eating it at this, we called it Heritage Days in Elkader, Iowa, where I'm from, and just the warm, drippy oil of that bread, so tasty. And those memories, for me, whenever I smell fresh bread somewhere, or even stale bread, it conjures up these memories right away in my head. That smell is so powerful. It brings me right back to childhood. And now I'm married to a baker. You thought he was just a great guitar player and singer, but he's also a baker of really wonderful breads. And some of the loaves that he's kind of famous for in our neighborhood are his honey flax oat breads. So these really dense but moist breads. And he will bake it in the oven and take it out and slice it. And while the steam is rising up out of it, he'll put butter on there. And I'm drooling right now thinking about, but talk about bread from heaven. I'm like, I think it's in my kitchen at home. So we barter with a neighbor who has chickens. So every few weeks we'll bring him a fresh loaf of this warm bread, and he'll give us a dozen eggs. And he loves it and we love it. So it turns out to be good for us. But David uses a lot of yeast in his baking, and so we actually have this really great hookup with yeast packets. Thank you, Cheryl, through your work. She loads us up with these massive bunches of yeast packets, so we're set for years. But David claims that there are these places in our house where the yeast rises really well because it's warm there, and those places are like the bottom of a bookshelf in the front window. I mean, these really strange places, so I'll look around and I'll see dough rising and sometimes spilling over onto the floor. And this is sort of the life of a baker's wife, I guess. I have this theory, though, if you will allow me to share it, of church and bread. So remember how at the Last Supper, when Jesus was with his closest disciples, and he was preparing to depart from this earth and was sharing that very clearly with them. And he said some words that we hear all the time, and I just want to offer up my little theory about what these words mean. So he was the self-proclaimed bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. But he said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Those words are pretty familiar to us who have grown up in the church. And we usually assume that he meant this loaf of bread in my hand. But having not been there in the room with him when he said this, we don't know what this meant. And so my theory is that he was saying, this is my body. You all who are gathered here, this is my body. He was just holding bread and offering it to them, but said, this is my body. And when Jesus said, Jesus, the bread of life, he said, do this in remembrance of me. It's up here on the communion altar. We usually assume that the this he asked us to do was to eat stale wafers once a month, or if you're Lutheran, once a week, and drink non-alcoholic grape juice out of little shot-like glasses regularly. We think that's what he meant. But I think what he really meant was do this. Gather as the church, to worship, to meet one another's needs, and to serve the poor. Do that regularly. It seems to me that in that Eucharistic act, the bread of life himself was bestowing upon all Jesus followers for all time the status of loaf. You are the bread. Jesus wanted his followers then and now to be the bread of life for those who hunger. Jesus, the bread of life, said, "This is my body." And we, the church, are the bread of life's body. So how does one prepare and bake a loaf of bread the size of the worldwide church? That's a big task. But I think when Doug was reading Paul's letter to the Jesus followers in Ephesus, we call it Ephesians, there's a little bit of a recipe in that reading. And I know I'm stretching it a bit, but you will find that all the ingredients in my recipe are from that reading he read from Ephesians. So here is what I call a recipe for a loaf of the bread of life's body. Mix together one baptism, one spirit, one faith, and one Lord. Add humility, gentleness, truth, grace, and patience to a very large heart. And mix and then add hope and peace until everything is all incorporated. Add some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to taste. And let it sit in the heart overnight, covered. After you let it sit in the heart, turn it out onto a love-sprinkled surface. Cover and let it rise in a warm sanctuary for about an hour. Rising high and spilling over is okay. And after your dough has risen, carefully place the dough in the heat of the light of God's love. Bake thoroughly until the bread is golden. Remove from the warm sanctuary and serve to neighbors. It's a pretty simple recipe. And we, the church, we usually get that baking part right. We know how to be gentle. We're fairly patient. We could maybe use a little more grace. We get the baking part right, but I think what we could do better is the removing from the warm sanctuary part and serving neighbors. It would be wonderful to just enjoy the bread right here every week, but that's not our call. Our call is to be the bread and to bring that savory, delicious, mouth-watering, warm, buttered bread out to the world and share it with those who are hungry. Jesus said, "The bread of God gives life to the world. The bread of God, the church, is the one that nourishes the world." So as our neighbors find nourishment in the offering of ourselves, they will say, just like the crowd said in the gospel story today, "From now on, give us this bread of life." They tasted it and they wanted more. So I wonder how Ephraim Moravian Church and how Spirit of Peace Lutheran Church, how any of us can become bread for our neighbors. Some of us might start a healthy neighborhood cafe. Some of us might put in a brick oven behind the church to bless neighbors. Some of us might simply invite someone we don't know too well over for a meal because they're lonely and just hear their story and eat together and let them know that they're worth our time. Pretty simple and safe. Some of us will do more. "This is my body," said the bread of life. "Gather, nourish, and serve in remembrance of me." Amen? Amen. Amen.